Good morning, and welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. Pastor Dennis, it's good to see you all on this beautiful Sunday morning. Several announcements this morning. This week we are praying for those on page 28 in our church directory, and we are praying for the Green Tree Church of the Brethren, and the Kahnawake Church of the Brethren is praying for us. I want to keep in prayer Janet Dubel on the passing of her mother, Margaret Mashinsky, this past week. Also, Ruth Heller was in the hospital. She is discharged. I'm not sure where she is at this point, but she's been discharged from the hospital. And if you had not heard that Barb and Elmer Weidman were involved in a traffic accident this week, they've been discharged from the hospital. They are at home recovering there at the moment. Just a reminder that Monday, this Monday, praise team will start rehearsal at 6 o'clock and Bible study at 7. From Londonderry Village, this announcement that the October Sunday evening program scheduled for October 17th, Carol Klein's musical tribute to Patsy Cline, has been canceled because of the COVID-19 virus. Also, if any of you are interested in a tour of the renovated Reach School classrooms following worship today, meet out in the gathering place, and your tour guide, Whitey Naga, will meet you there and take you down to to see the classrooms. So, it's good to be together again as a family of faith to worship our God. Let's come to a time of worship as Barb leads us.
Thank you. Will you stand for the call to worship and remain standing for the hymn? As I read the call to worship, try to imagine what it was like for David when he went out and he looked up at the heavens, and tried to imagine what it was like for God to create the heavens and then to place mankind here. Just think about that as I read. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The voice goes out from all the earth, their words in the ends of the world. Will you join in singing hymn number 49 in the blue hymnal, From All That Dwell Below the Skies? Join in the litany of praise. The word of the Lord is perfect.
God's word guides the soul.
The decrees of God never fail.
Our hearts rejoice.
The word of God shines clear.
Our eyes are enlightened.
The word of the Lord endures forever.
Blessed be God's holy name.
You may be seated, and this time Charlotte will lead us in our worship.
Thank you.
you, Charlotte. I think it's great when young people begin using their talents in service of the Lord. Our scripture today is taken from Exodus 20, and you will recognize this as the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who have hate me, but showing love to thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or your daughters, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that they may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and the smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at the distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Will you turn in your hymnal again to the hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy"?
Take time to be holy.
Will you join with me in a time of confession and prayer? God, your word is perfect. You have shown us how to live godly lives, yet we fail to keep your commandments. We do not always put you first. We do not always tell the truth. We covet what we cannot have. Forgive us when we fail to keep your commandments. Place your word in our hearts that we may follow you faithfully. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Will you join with me in prayer? Eternal God, our Father, we come to you with grateful hearts for the gift of life that you have given to us to be part of your creation. But we thank you even more for the love that you have for each of us that you have shown in so many ways, especially through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this congregation. We pray your blessing upon us that we may be faithful to you. We pray that you will be with Pastor Dennis this morning as he brings the message. And Father, now we ask that you will forgive us for we have sinned and fallen short. We know sometimes in spite of ourselves we sin. Other times it's because we are hard of heart. But forgive us for all our sins and help us to commit our lives to you. Be with us now as we worship, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, at this time, children's choir is going to sing. I see two of them.
Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have a love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have a love of Jesus in my heart. Jesus loves me.
There were only two, but I think they were the two best ones in the choir.
Thank you for your duet this morning, okay? And for your music this morning, too, Charlotte. Thank you for playing the piano. So, gee, we should have had children's choir last Sunday, right? I think there were 10 of them up here last Sunday, yes. Well, a couple weeks ago, we handed out Bibles. Well, you got a Bible. Did you get a Bible? You got a Bible a couple weeks ago, right? Okay. Yeah. And I talked about ways to read the Bible and where you should start reading and parts of the Bible that might be kind of hard to read. And so, you know, every Sunday morning we read from the Bible, but we want to also be reading it at home on our own. And this morning, Pastor Glenn read from the Ten Commandments. Either of you remember any of those Ten Commandments? What do you remember?
You shall not have any gods but him.
Okay, that's the first one, right? Have no other gods before me. That's an important one, yes. There's 10 of them all together. Anybody, Will, do you remember any of them from hearing Pastor Glenn read them? Well, there's 10 of those commandments. Now, commandments... mean they're things that we should do, things that God wants us to do. No other gods before me. Don't make for yourself an image. In other words, don't worship things other than God. Honor your mom and dad, your parent, honor your parents, okay? You shall not murder or kill. You shouldn't steal, things of that sort. There's 10 commandments there in the Bible. And then if you read further in the Bible and go to the next book of the Bible, Leviticus, there's rules and rules and rules and rules that people were to follow. You know, when you go to school, I'm sure there's rules at school, aren't there, that you have to follow. And someday, well, mom and dad aren't looking forward to this, but someday you're going to have, you'll probably learn to drive a car. And there's all kinds of rules. Yeah, I saw Dad's expression back there. It was not like yours, Will. But you'll learn that there's all kinds of rules that you have to follow when you learn to drive a car. Well, God's rules in the Bible, there's a lot of rules in the Old Testament especially that God wants us to follow. And he wants us to follow them because when we follow God's rules, we'll be pleasing God, but also we'll be treating other people right. And there were all these rules, and just back in those days, that nobody could follow all of them. Just nobody could do it. And one day, when Jesus was in his ministry, somebody asked Jesus, well, what's the most important of all those commandments? And he said, it's like this. There's all those rules, and I'm not saying exactly the way Jesus said it, okay, but this is kind of summarizing what Jesus said. There's all those rules, but I'm going to narrow it down to two. Now, I think all of us can remember two, can't we? Okay? He says the two rules, the two commandments that you really need to remember are these, and if you remember these two, it covers all of the others. You don't have to remember all those, because if you remember to do these two, you've got it covered. And the first one he said was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, to love God. And the second one he said was love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love your neighbor. Now, neighbor doesn't necessarily mean the person next door to your house. Neighbor means anybody, all of us, okay? So love God and love other people. And I think all of us can remember those two, can't we? That's pretty simple. Jesus made it easy for us. And he said, if you remember those two, you've got all those other things covered. Let's say a prayer together, okay? God, thank you this morning for Charlotte and Will, for Charlotte for her music, Will, and joining her and singing for us this morning and praising you in that way. And we just lift them up to you and the children that aren't here this morning too, Father. Just bless them and help them remember those two simple rules, love God and love others. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.
The scripture this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who live by these will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This time, Pastor Dennis will bring the message.
Well, last Sunday, we considered the story and the account in Exodus 19 of the Israelites at Mount Sinai after Moses led them out of Egypt. And you might recall that at Sinai, they set up camp and they remained there for a little more than 2 years. And it was there that the people witnessed some mighty displays of God's power, evident in thunder and lightning, and God's presence in a dense cloud of fire and smoke that came down on the mountain. And they heard God's voice speaking to Moses. After a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. And remember that they didn't go any further than the foot of the mountain because God had instructed Moses to mark off a boundary beyond which the people were not to pass. Reminded us that boundaries can be physical structures like walls, fences, or hedges. Sometimes boundaries can be invisible lines that we can't see, save for the signs that tell us that we've crossed the boundary. Take, for example, if you travel Interstate 81 or 83 into Maryland, you'll see a sign informing you that you've crossed the boundary from Pennsylvania into the state of Maryland. And there's other kinds of boundaries like words, values, attitudes, and beliefs. Well, today in Exodus 20, we find one of those other kinds of boundaries, words. Words we call the Ten Commandments. Verse 1 of Exodus 20 says, God spoke all these words. And that Hebrew there is most accurately translated words. God's 10 words for the Hebrew people. The first 4 of God's 10 words consider our relationship with God. Worship of only the one true God, the prohibition against worshiping idols and images, the sanctity of God's name, the observance of a Sabbath day of rest. And the other 6 consider our relationships with one another and deal with family relationships, taking the life of another person, adultery, taking what is not ours, false witness against a neighbor, and coveting another's property. As the Israelites stood there at Mount Sinai, they were shaken to the core after hearing God's words. Verses 18 to 20 of Exodus 20 tell us that when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled in fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but don't have God speak to us or we will die." Moses sought to reassure the people. He told them, "Don't be afraid. God's come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and to keep you from sinning." Well, what the people encountered that day at the mountain wasn't one of those sight and sound productions. They were confronted with the holiness, the majesty, the power, and the word of God. They were in the presence of the Creator of heaven and earth, who was giving them this blueprint for living and flourishing in the world that God had created. What the people heard at Mount Sinai was God's plan for human life, as it should be and could be. God gave those words to Moses about 3,500 years ago. And the question confronting the Israelites then regarding those words, and one that still confronts us today, is this: what do we do with these 10 commandments? In Deuteronomy 5, those 10 commandments are written a second time in Scripture. And in verse 21 of Deuteronomy 5, the people tell Moses, "Go near and listen to all that the Lord says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and obey." Well, we know that the people didn't always listen and obey. They disobeyed many of God's commands. And considering the question of what to do with God's commands in our time, it seems our culture to a great extent has answered the question saying, nothing. In fact, in our increasingly secular culture today, God's 10 words have often been reduced to an issue of where they can be displayed and where they can't be displayed. People aren't nearly so concerned about what they might mean for their lives. And when some court rules that a display of the Ten Commandments must be moved or removed, the story gets much more attention than, say, the alarming rate at which humans kill one another in violation of God's sixth word. Turn on your TV or go to a movie and we see stories of one adulterous affair after another, giving little consideration to what marriage vows might have to do with it, in violation of God's seventh word. And God's third word about misusing his name, well, chances are rarely a day goes by that we don't hear someone in real life or in the so-called entertainment industry breaking that commandment. On the last of our flights home from the Netherlands, there was a woman sitting in front of me on the plane who seemed to preface everything that she had to say with that OMG, oh my God. It seems that valuing the Ten Commandments as serious guidelines for healthy living has fallen by the way of things like white sidewall tires or VHS movies or cassette tapes. A recent Barna poll revealed, however, that 79% of Americans oppose the idea of removing displays of the Ten Commandments. But at the same time, in the same survey, fewer than 10% could identify more than four of the commandments. In our secular and individualistic culture, where what seems right to me is the accepted moral guideline, and God's commands seem to be irrelevant, unwelcome, and to be avoided at all costs, unless someone tries to remove them from public display. Yet where they are displayed really has nothing to do with their significance for our lives. And if we're honest, it's probably fair to say that many of us have broken, are breaking, or will break one or more of the Ten Commandments. 2- and 3-year-olds are not the only ones who don't like being told, "No, you can't do that." These 10 words, these 10 commandments, might seem at first glance to be very negative. And that whole idea that we call them commandments can cause some to rebel against them. After all, we live in a nobody can tell me what to do kind of world. Look no further than all the controversy over masks these days. Yes, you can read these 10 commandments as God spelling out what he doesn't want. And if you read carefully, you'll see that 8 of them are, "You shall not." But 2 are stated in a positive form. Remember the Sabbath day and honor your father and mother. In these 10 words, God gives us 10 rules for living. Just 10. And yes, 8 of them are stated as, "You shall not." But doesn't that really give us an incredible amount of freedom regarding how we are to live? Think about that. God didn't say, "Walk on this line and go nowhere else." If he'd done so, to me that would suggest a very controlling God rather than a creative God who's made us in his image. And what comes to mind is the image of God who is kind of like a puppeteer manipulating a marionette, a God who wants to control every aspect of our lives. And if God had only given a list of what we can do, God would have negated his own claim that we're made in his image. Made in his image, God has given us creative abilities. The ability to imagine new possibilities, to explore and design. True, God has provided us with some boundaries, and God provides boundaries for our good. But those 10 boundaries God has set actually open up the doors for all kinds of other possibilities. If we live by the spirit of these 10 commandments, we'll find that God gives us a tremendous amount of freedom. And rather than boundaries that fence us in and repress life, the Ten Commandments open up a world of possibilities and are promises that give life. God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt to become the people he chose them to be. And rather than a manipulative and controlling God, we have a God who's given us freedom to become who he created us to be, and freedom to experience life as he intended it to be. We have the added blessing of living in the new freedom, the life-giving freedom that God has given us by his grace and by faith in Jesus Christ. This does not mean that we disregard God's law. Jesus affirmed the importance of God's law. He said he didn't come to abolish the law of Moses, but to fulfill it, to accomplish its purpose, that not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Yet by the time Jesus came, most people looked at God's law in the wrong way. The law became an end in itself. And in a way, the people had been enslaved once more. So God acted dramatically and decisively to free all people from the enslaving power of sin and the law through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God's grace revealed in Christ is now the doorway to freedom. In Galatians 5:1, Paul says, Christ has truly set us free. Yet I think many of us, Christians included, are confused about what this freedom means. Many think that freedom means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, like choosing not to wear a mask when it's required on an airplane. Our son and daughter-in-law have a rule that when you come into their house and are around their now 8-week-old twins, you must wash your hands and wear a mask. Some relatives don't like that rule and are vocal about their feelings. But I think such thinking confuses freedom with license. License is totally self-focused. License is indulging yourself in whatever, whenever, and however you want. It has little to no concern for others and no qualms about how doing whatever you want affects others. There are always consequences for our actions and choices, and self-indulgence never results in real freedom. It's some of this kind of attitude that Paul was confronting in those words that Glenn read from Galatians. Because of God's grace in Jesus, God has done all that needs to be done for our salvation, for our freedom. Nobody has to try to earn salvation or this freedom he's talking about through works, including following that Jewish law. But with this newfound freedom, the people had a hard time figuring out what it meant to be truly free in Christ. Some of that freedom to those, some of that confusion to those Galatians led some to say, well, the law could not be completely negated. The cross couldn't be sufficient alone. Surely the law and the Torah had to count for something. Things like circumcision and dietary laws surely still have to count. The other extreme were those who adopted that anything goes mindset. So Paul says that indeed God has set us free in Christ, but not free to do whatever we want. To those Galatians who felt the details of the Mosaic law still needed to be observed, Paul said, if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace. And to those who felt their freedom meant they could do anything they wanted, Paul said, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Today, we're not exempt from experiencing some of the same confusion. What do we do with the Ten Commandments? What do we do with God's law? What does it mean to be free in Christ? Well, Paul gives the Galatians, and he gives to us, an answer. He said, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. For you've been called to live in freedom, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Paul summed it up in one command. In response to a teacher of the Jewish law who asked which was the greatest of the commandments of the law of Moses, Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on those two commandments. True freedom means serving one another in love. In love for God and in love for others. St. Augustine once said, "Love and do what you want. Love and do what you want." And I think what he was saying is this, that if you truly love God and you truly love others, then you're free to do whatever you want, because what you want to do will be an expression of your love for God and your love for others. Freedom in Christ, as affirmed by Paul, St. Augustine, and Jesus himself, is not primarily a freedom from, as much as it is a freedom for. In Christ, we've been freed from slavery to sin and the law, and we've been freed to live and to love in Christ. And such freedom isn't an individualistic, self-indulgent, going it alone kind of freedom. We're free to live in Christ, and that implies a relationship. Since as believers we each live in Christ and Christ lives in us, we share a relationship through this body, the church, which is why our freedom is not to be used for self-centered or self-indulgent purposes. We are one in Christ and called to live in love with one another, the kind of love that God has shown us in Christ. Use your freedom, Paul said, to serve one another in love. We live in Christ and in the Spirit. His Spirit lives in us. So Paul says, let that Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other within us. So you're not free to carry out sometimes your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. And then he goes on to list some of those desires of the sinful nature. It seems like Paul likes lists. He likes placing these lists in his letters. And Glenn read them: sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfish ambition, etc. All of these are the antithesis of love. All of these destroy relationships and break down community. Earlier I said that if we live by the spirit of the Ten Commandments, we'll find that God gives us a tremendous amount of freedom in what we can do. That the boundaries God has set actually open up doors to all kinds of possibilities. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, those fruits of the Spirit, Paul tells us what those possibilities look like. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things, he says. In Christ, in the life in the Spirit, we're freed to love. To love God with all our being, and to love others, our families, our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies. Through the freedom we experience in Christ, we experience joy and peace. A joy and peace that the world cannot give, nor can it take away. A joy and a peace that allows us to face whatever life brings at us, knowing that in Christ we are loved. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are expressions of love which build up relationships, which build families, which build communities, and build a kingdom. As followers of Jesus, we're not subject to the law, but we fulfill the spirit of the law by loving. Loving God with all of our being and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We've been freed to live and freed to love. Life in Christ and in the Spirit is not about learning a new set of rules, but it's about being set free for a journey into the blessings that come with loving God and loving others. Paul says that those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we're living in the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Life in Christ, life in the Spirit, is freedom and empowerment to live as Christ lived and to let Christ's love live through us. You've been freed to live. You've been freed to love. May Christ's love live through each of us. Amen. Stand and sing together, "Gracious Spirit, dwell with me." You know, it's true, all those Old Testament laws can be overwhelming. Ten Commandments are absolutely rules that God has given us and rules that we should be following. But like Jesus said, we don't have to remember all those. Remember two things. Love God and love others, and you've got it covered. So go now, loving God and loving others, and go in Christ's peace. Amen.